We'd like to welcome you all today and delighted that we've had such a great turnout. And we'd like to also welcome particularly those who are watching this through television. My name is Austin Fennell and my role is to moderate the session today. The fee for the meeting today, including your lunch, is $8. And you pay that at your table, please. And will somebody at your table please undertake to check it out and see if the amount is right. We have some significant partners in Southern Alberta Council on Public Affairs. Shaw Television, who's covering this today, the University of Lethbridge, Lethbridge Herald, Erickson's Restaurant. The outline and the format for today is the same as it is on every Thursday. We hear our guest speaker, we take some time for lunch, and then we have a question period, and that's exactly what we're going to do today. So we'll begin in a minute with our speaker and then have our lunch and so on. I'd like to now introduce our speaker. The subject today is Alberta's leadership role in Confederation. Now, as Preston Manning moves into the category of one of Canada's elder statesmen, the question... Well, you did look a little younger than I thought you would, so there you go. Okay. I suppose the question might occur to him, which is preferable, the power of the elected office or the power of generating ideas that will shape our public life? Now, this isn't the question period, but I'd like you to welcome our guest speaker, Preston Manning.
Thank you very much, Austin, and I'd like to thank, Ralph Fall and Trevor Page and others that made this possible for us to be here today, and most of all, thank each and every one of you. I'm a little intimidated talking to you because I know there's several MLAs in the audience. There's my good friend, Ray Speaker, who's been a member of Parliament for your area. Professor McCormick from the university is here, and for me to speak on this particular subject, there's people in the audience that are equally or more knowledgeable. I feel a bit like the Texan. You may have heard this story of a Texan who survived the Johnstown flood in Texas. And this created such an impression on him that whenever he was invited to talk anywhere, he always asked, what could I say a few words about the Johnstown flood? He eventually died and went to heaven, and St. Peter says we have a little reception for new folks here, and we usually ask them to say a few words about their life on earth. So the Texan said, well, could I say a few words about the Johnstown flood? To which St. Peter replied, yes, you could, but you should know that Noah will be in your audience. As I look around, I see a few no's. That intimidates me a little bit. Just by way of background, I should tell you that earlier this year, I was under a little pressure from some folks to throw my hat into the ring for the contest to replace Premier Klein and leadership of the Conservative Party. I decided not to do that, although I can think of no more magnificent province to serve politically than the province of Alberta, which has been very good to us. But I chose instead to work on our building this Manning Center for Building Democracy. Our task is to try to develop educational and training programs and materials to assist some of the younger people that are coming along to become active in democratic politics, particularly from the conservative side, although it would apply more generally. And so that's really what I'm putting my time into. There's a few brochures on the Manning Center, and we've got a little website. We'd encourage you to take a look at that. But in declining to participate in the provincial political scene, I did say I wanted to do two things. First of all, to publicly thank each of the candidates and the families for making their contribution to the political life of our province through their candidacies and their campaigns. It's a big effort to contest the leadership of a political party, and I think regardless of who you may support, that they should receive our thanks. And secondly, I said that I'd like to try to draw public attention to a few of the major questions which we as Albertans have to face as this province, with its growing influence and wealth, moves ahead. And questions which our next premier, regardless of who that is, we'll no doubt have to address. And one of those questions is the one that was mentioned in the advertising, is what role is Alberta, with its increased wealth and influence, prepared to play on the national stage? And that's really the subject I'd like to discuss for a few minutes, hopefully discuss your thinking, maybe your answers to that question, and we'll have a little question period afterwards. Aspect of that question is, are Albertans and those who would prepare to lead us at all interested in exerting a new influence on the national stage? And if so, to what end? I think this requires us to decide whether we are going to act in the future as what has been called little Westerners or big Westerners. These two phrases were coined quite a long time ago by F.W.G. Hall Taine, the last great premier of the old Northwest Territories. He was actually from Fort McLeod, just down the road here. He represented Fort McLeod in the territorial legislature. He had a debate in 1901, December 1901, in Indian Head, Saskatchewan. It was a tent of over 1,000 people in the middle of the winter, just before Christmas, probably in an old hall lit by kerosene lamps. And he had a debate with Rodman Roblin, the premier of Manitoba, on this particular issue. And he said that federal policies and the ambitions of some Western politicians were dividing our people into big Westerners and little Westerners. He said the little Westerners and the big Westerners all were interested in advancing the interests of the West and dealing with their concerns. But the little Westerners looked inward rather than outward, focused only on Western interests and not on any others, were prepared to build barriers around the West, and fought vigorously among themselves for political positions within the West. Whereas the big Westerners, of whom Hall Taine himself was a great example, looked outward as well as inward, wanted the West to play a bigger role on the national stage as well as on its own regional stage, built bridges with the rest of the country, and aimed to reshape the whole national constitution and federal institutions to benefit the West and the rest of the country. And the immediate issue they were arguing about in those days was whether the West should be divided up into three provinces or whether it should stay as one big province in order to counterbalance Ontario and Quebec. Hall Taine was on that side of one big province, Rodman was on the other. But that question of whether we were prepared to act as little Westerners or big Westerners, inward-looking or outward-looking, trying to change national institutions as well as our own institutions to advance our interests, that's still a relevant question today. And it affects this question of how we behave on the national stage. So one of my questions is, are we going to act as big Westerners or little Westerners in shaping Alberta's role on that national stage in the future? Now, the second question that's related to this is, if Alberta is willing to lead on the national stage, as well as taking care of its own interests, on what issues of concern might it do so? Over the last decade, Alberta has been a leader on the issue of balancing budgets, reducing debts, and reducing taxes. It's done a spectacular job on that. Some people feel that's starting to slip. But this whole question is, Alberta going to continue to lead in the area of fiscal responsibility? And that particularly means, as we get this increased revenue, are we going to save more? And if so, how are we going to invest those savings? But is Alberta going to lead on the fiscal front? Whatever the next thing is after the fiscal revolution, is Alberta going to lead on that area and provide an example to the rest of the country? Is Alberta prepared to lead on health care? As most of us, I think, appreciate, our current healthcare system is financially unsustainable in the long run, particularly as our population ages, even for a province like Alberta. And many other provinces, of course, this problem is even greater, where healthcare is now gobbling up almost 50% of their budgets, and that cannot continue. But is Alberta going to lead on that front, or are we not? Alberta has a democracy deficit, as do the rest of the country. We have declining participation in our political processes. I think the popular vote in the last provincial election was under 50%. Is Alberta going to lead in the area of democratic reforms and democratic accountability? Is there something we can do here that would be an example for the rest of the country? And at the very top of my list, in fact, I'm going to be talking about this in High River on the 24th, is this question of, is Alberta prepared to lead on balancing the ecological budget? There's this growing interest and concern, as you know, right across the province in Alberta's environmental future. We have one of the most magnificent physical environments in the entire world. And of course, it's under pressure with our accelerated economic development, particularly energy development. And there's this question, can you marry a genuine commitment to conservation with Alberta's marketplace approach to economic development, particularly the energy sector, which has produced such great wealth and job opportunities here? Can you marry those two? And if so, how? And is Alberta prepared to lead on the national stage in that area? The whole country would be interested if we could. The question is, do we want to? Our third question, I'm just sort of raising questions, and hopefully this will stimulate your thinking, is if Alberta is willing to lead on the national stage, regardless of what issue it may be, how do our future leaders propose to lead? How do you lead on the national stage from a provincial standpoint? Well, there's at least two things that have worked in the past and could be applied in the future. One is to lead by example. Like not to preach to the rest of the country that you should do this or should do that, but just go and do it, and by providing an example, provide leadership to the country. I've already mentioned that Alberta has done that in the past on the fiscal front by our reduction, balancing our budget back in a time. And some people scoff and say, well, Alberta can balance its budget and reduce taxes because it's got this enormous oil wealth. But I remember when that was done, it was before this current spike in oil and gas prices, not under the current conditions. So leadership by example is one way that Alberta can lead, and perhaps lead in other areas. But if that's the case, on what issues is Alberta's future leadership prepared to lead the country by example? The other way of leading is, or another way of leading, is by intergovernmental cooperation and by building bridges with other provinces on areas that are strategic interest both to us and to them. One recent example of this, as you may know, Alberta and British Columbia negotiated what was called a Memorandum of Understanding, an MOU, between themselves on trade, investment, and labor mobility. Basically, it's a little free trade agreement between Alberta and BC. We have these free trade agreements with the United States and Chile and other foreign countries, but as you know, we got a lot of trade barriers between our provinces. It had a lot of cost to our cost of production. And Alberta and BC sat down and negotiated this agreement to try to remove some of those barriers. They didn't remove them all, this thing can be improved, and to set up a dispute settling mechanism for dealing with trade barriers between our two provinces. This is a memorandum of understanding that links Alberta and BC, a common interest in improving the trade between our two provinces. This is one way of leading the country, because Alberta could enter into memorandums of understanding and bridge building agreements with other provinces on areas where we have common interests. For example, both Quebec and Alberta, and to some extent BC, are interested in fundamental health care reform. That health care reform is actually further along in Quebec than it is in Alberta or BC. Is that some area where we could work together? Would there be merit in negotiating one of these memorandums of understanding to advance health care reform? Alberta and Ontario, as you know, are both now the largest producers of greenhouse gas emissions. It is interesting that it's only been seen a problem since Alberta became the number one producer. For 100 years, Ontario was the biggest producer. That didn't seem to cause the alarm in Central Canada, but that's another subject. But this is an area that we both have in common. We are the biggest producer of hydrocarbons. Ontario, up until very recently, was the biggest consumer of hydrocarbons. Is there something we could do together to reduce the negative effects of the combustion of hydrocarbons? We have a memorandum of understanding with British Columbia on free trade with BC. Is there something could be done in that area with Saskatchewan and Manitoba that would be mutually beneficial? The East Coast oil patch and the West Coast oil patch have certain things in common. Is there something we could do in common with the Atlantic provinces, particularly on how resource revenue is treated with respect to the equalization formula? And if a large number of the provinces feel that one of the things we've got to do with the in the future is rebalance the relationships between the federal and provincial governments, responsibilities for various services and so forth, is that something that Alberta could negotiate with other provinces in order to get a rebalancing of the provision of services? So these are a couple of ways that Alberta can lead by example and lead by bridge building agreements. And one of the questions for ourselves and one of the questions for the future leaders is, do we want to use these mechanisms, particularly interprovincial memorandums of understanding, bridge building agreements with other provinces, to strengthen Alberta's role on the national stage? And if so, agreements on what issues with what provinces? The one other, of course, government that we should talk about in terms of governmental relationships. Is that a little too loud? Okay, can you hear me at the back? I hope you can. You're okay? Okay. Speaking of relations with other governments, what course should Alberta take in relation to the new federal government? In the past, Alberta's instinctive position, for good reasons, with the federal government has tended to be defensive and even confrontational at times. The goal has been to get to various historical destinations along Alberta's road to the future. And often, whether it was constitutional equality in the early days when Alberta was trying to get control of its natural resources, or reforms to tariffs and freight rates back in the 20s and 30s and 40s, and most often, Alberta has, in recent years at least, has followed a signpost that has never changed its message or its direction. And basically that signpost said, fight Ottawa. That was the basis of the relationship. But do Albertans and our new leadership believe that that signpost is a reliable guide to the future? Before I got in the political business, I used to be in doing consulting work, and one of our projects was to do community economic development work up in north central Alberta, in the Lesser Slave Lake area. And along a back road in that part of the country, years ago, there used to be a huge post. It was set in rock and it had a big sign bolted onto it with one word on it, the word Sawridge, and an arrow pointing west. That sign and that post were about as solid a sign as you ever could find. Decades of wind and rain and snow never moved it, and never changed its message, and never changed the direction in which it was pointed. A reliable guide, some people might say. Follow its directions, and you'll get to Sawridge. There was only one thing wrong with that sign, that if you followed the directions on it, you would never, ever get to Sawridge. Now, why was that? Because the town of Sawridge changed its name to Slave Lake. Because Slave Lake moved its location after the 30s, I think, when there was a big flood. And all the roads in that area had been redesigned a dozen times after that sign had been planted. It was the very fact that that signpost had not changed while everything around it had changed that made it and its stability an unreliable guide to the future. Now, we Westerners, especially Albertans, hold our convictions firmly, including our convictions on how to relate to Ottawa, and that's a good thing. As long as we make the necessary adjustments from time to time to take into account the changes in the political and economic landscape. And there have been changes in the landscape. Alberta at the beginning of the 21st century is not the poor, underpopulated, politically impotent province it was at the turn of the last century. And in fact, on the political front, Albertans have done a lot to change the political landscape through political action, through think tanks, through advocacy groups, and through discussions. If today Alberta, with Alberta wealthier than it's ever been, and the new premier soon to be installed in Edmonton, with a new federal administration in Ottawa, and a new prime minister from Calgary advocating a more open and flexible federation, If with all those changes in the landscape, we were to take exactly the same approach to federal-provincial relations that we did when there was an anti-Western centralizing liberal administration in power, would we not be ignoring the lessons of the Sawridge sign and making a fundamental mistake? So we have to ask ourselves and our future leadership, what are the new guidelines or signposts that should guide our relations with the new federal administration? I want to conclude by just repeating again that the new West is bigger, more prosperous, more influential than ever, with Alberta in a key leadership position. Though we're not one geographic unit, in influence, we're very much the West that Premier Haldane wanted to see in 1901, when he encouraged us to think big and dream big and to be big Westerners. But it's now time to decide how much of our rootedness in Alberta, our solid as rock convictions, our common sense, to focus on ourselves and just our own problems and interests, and how much to focus on playing a major role on the national stage. As I've said, that decision requires Albertans and those who would lead us wisely to answer these important questions. Are Albertans and those who would lead us prepared to lead at all on the national stage? And if so, to what end? If Alberta is willing to lead on the national stage, on what issues should she do so? If Alberta is willing to lead on the national stage, how do our future leaders propose to lead? And if Alberta is willing to lead on the national stage, what course specifically should be pursued in relation to the new national government? I look forward to your questions and comments on this subject of great importance to us all. Thank you once again.
We'll call you back in about 25 or 30 minutes.